Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the Gospel just read from John 14. As we approach Ascension Day, which is actually this Thursday, May 25th, we continue to hear these powerful words of encouragement from our Lord and Savior about how he continues to be with his church, even though he's ascended to the right hand of the Father. This time in our gospel, Jesus tells us how we will be distinct among men, how the people who are called by the name Christ will be different from the world. They'll stand out from the world. They won't be of the world. The first way that he says that we'll be distinct is, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. To love Jesus is more than an act that we conjure up in our own heart. It's more than thinking that he's a great guy or having affection toward him. This is the result of faith, to love Jesus. It's not our own doing. And this is God's incredible work, that we have a clean heart created within us, and that we have a renewed, that he has renewed a right spirit within us. That's what it means to love Jesus. The reason that we know that we love Jesus by faith is that we keep his word. We treasure it, not just in a way of outward obedience. Oh, the Bible says this, so therefore I'm going to do this because it's my rule book. To keep is a special word in Scripture. It means to treasure it in your heart, to hold it sacred, to gladly hear and learn it, to feel empty without it. Those who love Jesus treasure the Word of God in this way. And because of that, because of the Holy Spirit at work in them, they experience spiritual awakening through the Word of God. They feel the terror of God's law when they sin against Him. They feel ashamed for what they've done and how they've offended the King of the universe. And it brings them to repentance. But then they also treasure that God raises them up by that same word with the sweet consolation that our sins are forgiven through the precious blood that Jesus poured out for us and for the whole world on the cross. And we live in the joyful freedom of our salvation, in our hopeful freedom that Christ has gone to the right hand of the Father, but he does not leave us alone. He's with us. He is living, and therefore we also live. But beware, because the devil is a sly enemy. He delights in convincing people that they can love Jesus and close their ears to his word. He would love to have you believe that you can be a true Christian and never pray. That you could be a true Christian and put worship at the bottom of your priorities. And that you could close your heart to your neighbor in need and don't care if he perishes in body or in soul. True faith is connected with a true love for God's word. But just as we are too sinful to love God on our own, we also don't have it within us to continue in this confession and faith even for a single hour. Therefore, Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. He's the one who converted our hearts in the beginning, who taught us to know Jesus as Lord and to trust in him and to love him. But he's also the same one who has the power to work steadfastness in our hearts, to keep us in this true faith. Jesus calls him another helper because Jesus is the first helper, the advocate, the one who has made peace between heaven and earth by his blood. And the Holy Spirit is the one who keeps us in Jesus Christ, in that one true faith. He's the one who keeps us against all of the attacks of the devil, the world, and those temptations that come up in our own heart to claim that we love Jesus, but not hear his word. The Spirit of truth is the one who makes us worthy to bear the name of God, to be called Christians. But because we belong to Christ, and because we're not of the world, we're under attack. We look vulnerable to the world because we follow a God who saved us by dying on a cross. How weak does that look to the world? But our living Lord, who was raised from the dead, who is victorious over death, assures us that he does not leave us as orphans. He doesn't leave us fatherless, which is the literal meaning of that word. Rather, he gives us a whole string of promises connected with the fact that we belong to our heavenly Father. He says, "I am coming to you. You will see me. You will live. You will know the Father. I will manifest myself to you." So in fact, we are not fatherless. We're not destitute. We're not left on our own. We have the help, the greatest and the most powerful keeper of all, the triune God. And because of all of this, because this is our reality that our life is based on, Christians are distinct from the world. You are distinct from the world because you love God and because you keep his word. His word is a lamp to your feet, as we prayed in the intro, and as you see on the front cover of the bulletin. Where the rest of men choose to go their own way, they look for guidance in their own darkened heart. Follow your heart is the saying of the world. Because in our hearts, we can only find sin and every kind of evil. But you have a light from above. A light shining in a dark place. That's what God's word is to you. That light shows you who God is. It proclaims the glory of his creation in which we live. And it instructs you in what it means to be a human being. You don't learn it anymore by looking around. It isn't taught in school what it means to be a human being, a creature of God. We're left to look in our own darkened hearts. You're not a man or a woman. You have to look into your heart and decide if you're a man or a woman or something else. You can't even learn about human relationships by looking to the world around us anymore. But God gives you a light in his word that teaches you what it means to be a father or mother, a husband or a wife, or a child or a worker, or a citizen. God's word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path in this darkened world. You are different from the world because you know your Father in heaven. You know that he is the one who faithfully provides for you. When the world is scrambling for resources and men are coveting from each other their goods, all because they're afraid that there won't be enough left over for them, you rest in God's care. You rest in the fact that God has promised that he will provide for you. And even if you have to wait for a while, you know him who says to you, "I will never leave you or forsake you." He will not leave you alone. He will not leave you as orphans to fend for scraps on your own. And you have a Savior who gives you a peaceful conscience before God through your baptism. We heard it in the epistle reading. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. While others in the world who have no God numb their consciences with drinking and drugs, and they try to shut out the accusing voices that point to them in the ways that they have failed God and failed their neighbor, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, the one who is worthy to stand before God, and you are washed in his blood that he freely shed for you so that you could have a clean conscience before God, so that you could live at peace even as you dwell in a body of death, and even as you dwell in a nation of people of unclean lips, you have an advocate who goes to the Father with his wounded hands and feet and side and speaks on your behalf so that you have true and everlasting peace. And you have the Holy Spirit, the Helper, who's with you forever. The world religions all rely on their own self-dedication and fortitude. Not so with your God. Jesus will say in chapter 15 of John, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing." You are not on your own in your faith or your life in Christ. Jesus Christ has given you his Spirit of truth, who puts his word into your hearts and causes it to bear fruit. He gives you strength in your struggles, and he reassures you in your doubts. He speaks on your behalf and helps you in your prayers. He brings you back when you've strayed, and he consoles you that he is always faithful. And that at the last, when you stand before him on Judgment Day, it will not be because of your works, but because of his works for and in you, that you are declared worthy of everlasting life. So thanks be to God through our living Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.